This is Digital Story Podcast number 669, January 8th, 2019. Today's theme is Making Photographs with IberianX Pirello. I'm Derek Story. The Candid Frame Podcast has been running as long as the Digital Story. And over those years, listeners have enjoyed the insightful interviews conducted by IberianX. And now he has a new book titled Making Photographs. Seems like a great time to have this long overdue visit with one of the great guys in our industry. Hope you enjoy the show. I really enjoyed my visit with IberianX. You know, both of us have been in the industry for a while, have seen a lot of things, have survived, which is always important. And not only did I want to talk about his book, because he has a terrific book, Making Photographs, that really gets into, you know, the idea that we're making images, we're artists. And he's going to talk about that. So I'm not going to steal his thunder there. But then I also wanted to talk to him about podcasting and, you know, just being around and some of the things that he's seen over the years. And that's the second part of the interview. So I think you're really going to enjoy spending time with him. If you haven't heard his podcast before, you're going to really like the way his voice sounds. He's got a wonderful voice and he's a terrific guy. So without me going on about him much longer, I think I'm going to turn the mic over to IberianX and let's get to talking here. Great to have you on the show today.
Hey, it's good to be on, man, especially with an old school podcaster.
Yeah, I was thinking that we should have done this long time ago just for any number of reasons, right?
Yeah, it's funny how we're all in our same orbit, you know, for the longest time, but never really connected. So I'm glad we finally have done it properly.
Me too. So, hey, what I'd like to do, there's two things I want to do today. One is definitely want to talk about your book. And I thought we'd start out with that, Making Photographs, because you say some really interesting things in there. And then I want to talk a little bit about being a veteran photography podcaster, because I don't get to hang out with guys that have done hundreds of shows very often. So I thought maybe we'd compare a few notes there too.
Sounds good.
Let's start with the book. Tell me about this. We share a publisher, Rocky Nook, right?
Yeah. Ted and crew over there. I'm big fans of theirs. And I've worked on several books with Ted. And I had been wanting to write another book for a while. But after the last book I wrote, I just said, the next time I write a book, it's going to be about something that I'm really passionate about and that I really want to write about. And as a result of teaching my workshops, one of the things that came up for me with my students was their struggle with being able to make good photographs consistently. They would have invested in some camera equipment, read books, maybe taken some classes. Yet more often than not, when they did make a good photograph, they claimed that it was more luck than anything else. If you ask them, well, why is this shot good? They would really be at a loss to explain not only why the photograph was good, but how they came about being able to make the photographs. And I felt that that was something that was seriously missing from a lot of photo education. You would get a lot of instruction about technique, approaches, but everyone was sort of learning sort of piecemeal. So despite having invested so much equipment and time, too many photographers, I felt, were not being able to connect all the pieces. So Making Photographs is basically my personal journey in terms of consolidating all that. And by that, I mean having an understanding about how you see and making that critical connection between how you see and how the camera sees. Like, for example, I break down a scene into very simple principles of light and shadow, line and shape, color and gesture. And I explain how you can evaluate a scene based on that, rather than simply looking at the world literally and thinking, oh, that's a chair, that's a car, that's a pretty girl, and raising the camera and pressing the button. You think more thoughtfully about how light and shadow is informing the scene, how if you place your subject in the light and expose for the highlights and let the shadows go black, all of a sudden a composition takes shape. And the idea of understanding how you're seeing and having that inform every choice that you make with the camera, I felt really provides photographers the vocabulary and the language to not only understand how to make a good photograph, but how they can make a photograph that is really personal. It's and that expresses their own unique way of seeing.
Yeah, this is interesting to me because one of the things that you talked about in the book was, you know, it's the very simplicity. It's so simple to make a photo these days that in a way it puts a lot of photographers or people who want to be a photographer in this hit or miss mode, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, just by raising the smartphone up or the camera up and pressing the shutter, you're probably going to have a decent exposure. You're probably going to have decent color and it's probably going to be in focus. Now, those are things that we used to have to think a lot about at one time. And I think that that exercise of having to think about those things then, you know, also got us in the right frame of mind to think about the other things. Like, for instance, if you're thinking about focusing, then maybe you're thinking in more detail about the composition and how you're framing the subject and what's in the background. Mm-hmm. And so it's sort of like, because we do get to skip ahead a little bit, taking a picture these days, that we also don't get the benefit of having our mind and our creative eye be constantly challenged. And I think what you're talking about here is sort of taking a deep breath, taking a step back, and then starting to look at some of those elements again.
Yeah, because the whole idea of just pressing a button and having what was in front of you captured and documented is a very easy thing, whether it's with your phone, your DSLR, and your mirrorless camera. And a lot of people think that that's sufficient. They've copied, to a great extent, what was in front of them in a photograph, and they feel like that's the extent of the creative process. But what I promote is the idea that it's much more than that. It's about being conscious of your subject, the foreground element, the background element, the light, the shadow, the line and shape, and how all of those things can where you can use those things to control the viewer's experience of the photograph, so that you can see, you can have people experience your images in the way that you experience the images of the photographers that you love and admire who use these principles. And that's why their images are so good. So it's a challenge to teach people how to see, which is why I think so few people have really sort of attempted in the way that I have. But I felt that I see the results in my workshops all the time. And I can see how within a very short period of time, whether it's a day or 2 days, how people's photography is transformed in an amazing way just as a result of that germ of an idea of how to begin to see.
I think that's a great point. It's interesting, when I was in college, I actually didn't study photography very much formally. I was an English major and a design minor, but my design classes helped me become a better photographer. And one of the things that I noticed was in classes where I had to draw, you know, as you end up having to do a fair amount as a design mm-hmm. minor, that the act of drawing, of looking at something and then being able to translate it onto a sheet of paper, really improved my ability to actually see what that was I was looking at. And in the beginning, I must admit, I wasn't very good at drawing. I was disappointed in mm-hmm. what I was producing, but I got much better at it just by focusing and practicing. And I really feel like that has helped my photography in the ensuing years.
Yeah, because giving yourself permission to linger on a scene or a subject and to really examine what you're seeing and seeing those elements that strengthen the composition and keeping those in, and then getting rid of the things that can prove a distraction and recognizing them for that, either a strength or as a weakness, and making those small, almost infinitesimal changes in terms of your composition, which for me often involved me like shifting slightly to the left or moving in a little closer or just orienting the camera vertically as opposed to horizontally, thinking consciously of the composition in that way and not rushing it, results in a remarkable difference in photographs, because once people give themselves permission to really think thoughtfully about the photographs that they're making, they're so surprised about not only the options that are available to them, but the options that really help improve the very scene that they were drawn to in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. Now, light is another area that fascinates me in the sense that especially smartphones now with computational photography have really taken, light out of the ballgame in a lot of ways. And what I mean by that is it doesn't really make any difference what the lighting is that you're looking at, because the camera often is just going to balance everything out. It's going to open up the shadows for you. It's going to bring down the highlights. It's going to give you a good photograph in almost all lighting conditions. And this is where I definitely don't want to sound like, an old fogey, but I think that there really is something important to, let's say, shooting a roll of film and seeing, where you don't get all that computational work behind the scenes and seeing how the camera is actually responding to the light in front of you, and then having you think about, okay, maybe if I just angled the subject a little bit more to the right, put the light, maybe coming over the shoulder, get a little rim light or something like that, and get you start to think about some of those creative things. When you talk to students and are helping people with lighting, what are some of the things that you like to help them with? Do you have any tricks or concepts or exercises?
Well, one of the very first things we do after I finish my lecture and we walk out into the street, and I say, look at the light and the shadow. If it's a direct, if it's a bright sunny day, I just start pointing things out. It's like, if you look at the light and the shadow, that tells you so much. If it's a day with a bright sunny day with harsh light, you'll see really, really strong, well-defined demarcations between light and shadow, where it's transitioning from bright into shade. And that tells you, one, that I have a lot of light to work with. Two, that there's a contrast that I might be able to leverage when I'm building compositions. If you see that the light is very diffused and the shadows are a little muddier and you don't have that harsh transition, that means that you're probably working on a cloudy day, or you're in an area of shade where the light's going to be a lot flatter. You're not going to have that strong contrast. And both of those things inform what the photograph is going to look like depending on how you use that light. And it's something that I drill into my students, is like, even before you've made your first photograph, take a look at what's happening with the light, because it will tell you what direction the light's coming from. It's going to likely lead you to a subject. If you just look for little pockets of light, you may be drawn to a scene just because of the light, and all of a sudden something else that you couldn't have even anticipated gets revealed to you as a photographic subject. So it's just this idea of just paying attention, not just looking for an interesting character or an interesting object, by paying attention first and foremost to that relationship between light and shadow, you start the wheels moving to getting to a point where you start thinking photographically and not just as a person documenting something with a camera.
I had Kelly Cox on the show not too long ago, and she's an Olympus visionary who's a professional sports photographer. I asked her, okay, what's your one tip? And she said, when I'm shooting action, what I like to do is find the scene that has the lighting and the composition and just is a good photograph first, that's in the field of play. And then I wait for the action to come into that, and then I photograph it. And I thought that was such a cool tip, because here, even in sports photography, we have someone who is thinking about light and composition first and then letting the action roll into the frame. And I think that is, you know, that process is really appealing to me.
Yeah, because everyone has had the experience, especially if they're an avid photographer, of going out, taking a bunch of pictures, and coming back and feeling like, oh, I didn't get anything. There just wasn't anything interesting to shoot. And I used to do that. But when I discovered that it wasn't about me finding something interesting to shoot, it was really a problem with me not seeing well. And as soon as I started paying attention to scenes in the abstract, looking at light and shadow, line and shape, there was a wealth of stuff for me to photograph. Now the challenge was not discovering it. This challenge was, can I make a series of choices that would allow me to leverage the potential of everything that I'm seeing in front of me into a good photograph? And that's when photography becomes fun. It becomes challenging. And it's when you become really excited about the process of making photographs, because you see yourself building something, which is why I always talk about making photographs rather than taking photographs. Taking photographs is a really passive act. You just press a button, you've taken a picture. Making photographs is a consequence of the way you see, the way you think, the physicality of you wielding the camera in the space in which you're photographing. That's when photography is fun and it's exciting. And it's when people really get to discover who they really are as a photographer. And you know, because people are often saying, I don't know if I'm talented. Well, until you get to the space where you are conscious of the way that you're seeing and as a result photographing, that's when you discover what your inherent talents are as a photographer. And until that, you know, you're just hoping that you get lucky every once in a while, which is disheartening for anybody who's a creative.
I know, because it puts us more, now we're a gambler instead of an artist.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And, you know, that's not my interest. So this book is available both, and this is, again, we're talking about making photographs. Mm-hmm. This book's available both electronically and in print and in both, right?
Yeah. People can get either one or they can get them both.
And where do you recommend folks go to purchase this?
It's on Amazon, and some people like just purchasing on Amazon because they can get it in 2 days. But you can also get it from the Rocky Nook website at rockynook.com. And I'm sure you'll probably have a link in the show notes there. And if they use the promo code PERELLO40, that's PERELLO, the number 40, they can get 40% off the list price on the book, which is a great deal for a 300-plus page book.
It is, and Perello is also the last name of the author, so that should help you there, too. Right? Okay, fantastic. Now, you know I'm jonesing to talk a little bit about podcasting, too.
Yeah.
You game? You game for this?
No, absolutely.
All right, so we both have been doing this for quite a while. I started in 2005, and I can't remember when your first show was, but well, why don't you tell me? Tell me a little bit about the beginning of your podcasting, and then we'll go from there.
I think it was February 2006 for me. So you beat me by a little less than a year.
Oh, and I didn't start until November. So
no, okay, so, yes, so we're on the same ballpark.
Just a few months.
Yeah, I had discovered podcasting as a way of just being able to, you know, pass the time in a torturous commute here in Los Angeles, as my back and forth from work. And I just started listening to what few podcasts that were out there. It was like the Wild West back there. You know, it wasn't the abundance of shows that are out there. And I immediately gravitated to a lot of the photography shows. And I enjoyed them all, but I felt like something was missing. And I felt like I wanted to hear more in-depth conversations with photographers. And because at the time I worked at Outdoor Photographer and Digital Photo Magazine, I knew a lot of photographers. I worked with a lot of photographers as a result of, you know, helping to fill in the pages of the magazine every week. And so I said, well, maybe I can do this. So I borrowed a friend's digital recorder and recorded my first interview, and then I learned how to create a blog and how to upload the files and how to distribute it and everything about an RSS feed and all those things. And, you know, you really had, there really weren't a whole lot of resources out there. So you really had to sort of, you know, find out for yourself, how does this whole thing work? And I just started doing it every 2 weeks, and it slowly built momentum. And eventually I started doing it every week, and it's going to be 13 years next year. So I'll be hitting 500 episodes before the end of 2019, which is, it's amazing to think that I've been around that long and that I've had that many conversations.
It is amazing. And it's also amazing when you think about how many things there are to learn with this. I went through the same process as you. And one of the things that I had to learn about, in addition to all the sort of the back end stuff with RSS and all that stuff that still will make us crazy on some days, is how audio in a lot of ways parallels photography in terms of, you know, you don't want to clip the highs, you know, you don't want to overexpose your audio. How microphones are a lot like lenses, you know, and different microphones, you know, produce, different characteristics. And, you know, that whole process of learning audio and then going, wow, this is a lot like photography, only it's just kind of a different medium. Mm-hmm. How did that all go for you? Did you have a background in audio, or were you learning it on the go?
I was learning it on the go, which is evident when you listen to those early episodes. I was constantly experimenting, and, you know, sound quality was not consistent. It was sometimes all over the place as I learned, like a little, just like I talked about with photography, I would learn just enough to make myself dangerous, and I would immediately apply it, you know, and, it was a mess. But I'm very grateful that people stuck around and that people are willing to go even back to those early episodes and derive some appreciation from those conversations. Because even though my engineering skills are relatively uneven, the content was there. So, and thankfully, podcasting is a lot more forgiving than radio would have been.
It is. It is.
You know, no one would have ever given me this job.
Yeah,
right?
That's
no
a great
one would
point.
Ever looked at me and said, "Oh, okay, this person would be perfect for, you know, hosting a show." And it was only because I wanted to do it and found the means by which to do it is the only reason that I'm here, and I'm very grateful for that because, you know, I love doing the show, and it's created so many opportunities for me, and as a result.
Well, I will say one thing, that if you did a demo tape, someone listening to your voice may have said, this guy should be podcasting. I will say that, okay?
All right, thanks. It's been great for me because it keeps me energized in terms of what I'm doing with my own photography. One of the things I take the greatest joy and pleasure in is that people through the show get to discover that there's no singular way of making photography a part of your life. You know, 'cause I've had conversations with people who are seasoned professional photographers who have been working for decades. I have people who are new to the game. I have people who earn their living from photography. And for other people for whom photography is either a serious hobby or a side gig. And all of these people are doing interesting work and finding a way of making photography a part of their lives. And that's something I didn't have coming up. You know, I always thought that there was only, you know, certain ways that you could make photography a serious part of your life. And these 450, you know, or so conversations that I've had serve to remind me is that it's whatever I want to make it. I can do whatever I want to do. And whether or not I'm earning, six-digit numbers for my photography or just 10, as long as I'm doing something that I'm passionate about and that I love, that's what really matters. And many people on this show are examples of just that.
And, you know, the thing about it is podcasting about photography for me has fueled my photography for sure, because, you know, a lot of these people I talk to and the research that I have to do coming up with shows and all that kind of stuff is very energizing. And it really keeps me, in the flow. And it also fits in with advice that I give people when they ask me, how can I be a photographer for a living? And, you know, the thing that I like to say is that I don't know about being a photographer for your living, but photography can be part of your living, and it can be a very important part, mm-hmm. because it can take many, many shapes. And podcasting about photography is one of them. Writing about photography is another. Teaching photography, shooting, of course, all the time, rather for clients and for yourself. But, you know, photography has so many different facets that if you're open to embracing those different facets, then cumulatively they can add up to a career. And I think for you and for me and for many others, podcasting has allowed us to continue to be photographers and focus on photography.
Yeah, and I'm incredibly grateful for that, because otherwise I might have ended up doing a gig that had nothing to do with photography, you know, to earn a living. And, you know, I can't really say that podcasting is earning a living. You know, it's enjoyable. It creates a lot of opportunities. But for me, it's such at the heart of what I love to do that, you know, I'm just remaining faithful that all of these things will come together, and that I'll get an opportunity not only to make a reasonable living from all the things that I do, be it writing, podcasting, photography, et cetera, but that it'll all be tied to this thing that I enjoy doing, and that I won't necessarily have to sort of compromise what I do just for the sake of a dollar.
So Iberianex, I want to thank you for being on the show. Congratulations on the book. And I'm going to give you a congratulations ahead of time on your 500th podcast.
Oh, thank you.
Let's not wait this long before we check in with one another again, okay?
Absolutely.
All right. Great having you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. That was really enjoyable, wouldn't you say? I really... really like hanging out with this guy. So anyway, his book is Making Photographs. We have the link in the show notes. Also, you might want to check out his podcast, The Candid Frame, and, you know, just see what this guy's up to. Thanks so much, Iberianex, for being on the show. I so appreciate it. The Portfolio Box Tip of the Week and New Photo Contest. So here's a cool tip that you might not know if you're a Portfolio Box user, that you can set colors and fonts on your entire website at once. You can fine-tune your website and choose specific colors and fonts for every element of your Portfolio Box website: menu, logo, text, headers, links, etc. Or you can opt for the quick and easy way to change all of them at once by choosing one of the preset combos that they've prepared for you. All you have to do is go to Colors and Fonts and click on the Color Scheme or Font Combo link. And this is really nice. This is the idea that they have professional designers who have created some looks for you, many looks for you, that you can just click on and your whole site will have this, you know, really kind of hang together, very professional appearance. But that doesn't mean that you can't fine-tune it, and you can go in there and make subtle changes also if you want to suit your particular aesthetic needs. So you can have it both ways with Portfolio Box, and that's this week's Portfolio Box tip. Now, it gets even better. We're going to have a photo contest. Yes, we are. And the photo contest is going to be black and white portrait. Now, the winner of the contest will get a free one-year Portfolio Box subscription. That's right, 1 year for Portfolio Box Pro. This is a really terrific prize. And the photograph that earns that free year of Portfolio Box Pro will also be featured on the digital story. Now, all you have to do to enter is send me your original photograph. It has to be taken by you and edited by you. And you need to have permission of the subject so we don't get in trouble. And send that to thenimblephotographer, all one word, at gmail.com. thenimblephotographer@gmail.com. And in the subject line, put black and white portrait photo contest. That's all you have to do is put subject line and then attach the image. How big of an image? Well, I'll leave that up to you, because if it's too big, I'll just size it down. But we want at least 2,000 pixels on the longest side if you can. Now, this is only going to run for 2 weeks, and that's the nice thing about it. This isn't one of those photo contests that's just going to run on and on and on. No, we're only going to run this for 2 weeks, so January 22nd, that will be the deadline for this photo contest, midnight, January 22nd, and at that time, the judges will figure out the winner, and then in the following podcast, I will announce the winner and announce the next photo contest. We're going to do 3 of these back to back to back. Each winner will get a Portfolio Box Pro website. So this is a pretty cool stuff. Now, if you want to create your own Portfolio Box site, you can start out for free while you're trying to win that professional site, or you can just go ahead and sign up for the professional site. Either way, you want to start with the tile on every page of the digital store, the Portfolio Box tile, because even if you build a free site, when you upgrade, you'll get that 20% discount, and that 20% discount just knocks it down to a bit over $60 for that first year. That's a real steal, including that you get your own personal domain name. So it could be DerekStoryPhotography.com. That's pretty nice, right? Portfolio Box is sponsoring the photo contest, and they're sponsoring this podcast. Go over, take a look at what they have to offer. Go to our landing page. All you have to do is click on the tile or the link in the show notes. And if you have a black and white portrait that you think might win you a free year, all you got to do is send it to thenimblephotographer.com. I'm looking forward to seeing those entries, and we'll talk more about this next week. Movie release, Chinatown Photo Shoot. So this is a movie that Mike and I made last year during the San Francisco Street Photography Workshop. It's a 6-minute movie that we created, that we shot on the last day of the workshop, Sunday, while we're working in Chinatown. This is a tradition that we do on this workshop. The last day we get into Chinatown in the morning, when it's just coming to life, when the light is good, you know, when there's all sorts of kind of neat setting up things happening. And we photograph the place, and it is a blast. Then after we've done our work, and boy, what fun work it is, then we all go to lunch there in Chinatown at a traditional restaurant. Not a tourist trap, but a good traditional restaurant. And then after that, we head back to our lab in Union Square, and we finish off our images and get ready for our presentation. It's just a super fun day. So I have this movie called Chinatown Photo Shoot, and the link will be in the show notes. So you can click on the link and watch the movie of actual workshop participants from last year's event with us working on this wonderful day, this Sunday morning in Chinatown. It's a blast, and I think you'll enjoy it. Now, if you want to join us in San Francisco in April, April 26th through the 28th, I would love to have you there. I think this is going to be the last year that we do this workshop. It's had a great run, but I'm ready to maybe try something else next year. And I want to have one big hurrah before we move on to wherever we do street photography next. So this is our last year in San Francisco. I want to set it up at the Cartwright Hotel again, April 26th through 28th. You can get your name on the reserve list by putting down a deposit. All you have to do is go to thenimblephotographer.com and click on workshops, and you'll see our workshops page there. You see the San Francisco event right there. Put down your $100 deposit, then that way later this month when we begin the registration process, you'll get a registration form and you'll be able to join us in San Francisco. This is going to be your last chance, and check out the movie, Chinatown Photo Shoot. I think you'll like it. Just a couple updates here. Our Patreon members, we have a new photo challenge going, and I like it. Repetition of pattern. I've already published a shot of an entry in our photo challenge. I'm going to publish another one probably today, and we're going to keep going through January 15th. If you're a member of our inner circle, take a look at these shots that were going up and participate. Send in your shot. Enter that challenge. The honoree will get a deluxe Nimble Photographer water bottle made by Victorinox. And a big thanks to all of our Patreon members, the backbone of this podcast, for supporting us week in and week out. I so appreciate it. And finally, a big thanks to our friends at Red River Paper. They're on board for another year. Do you believe that? These guys are terrific. Talk about helping keep the lights on. Red River Paper is there for us. And they make fantastic printing paper. And they provide all the supplies that you need for printing. And they have reviews of the latest printers, techniques. I mean, this is one-stop shopping nirvana. For those who either love printing or who want to start printing. And if you haven't started printing yet, if you haven't started creating your own artwork yet, your own fine art greeting cards, your own prints, hanging your stuff on the walls, not somebody else's, go over to Red River Paper, take a look at what they have to offer, read some of the tutorials and articles, and get excited. Put that inkjet printer that you have in your office or in your study, put that thing to work and start making some artwork. A big thanks to Red River Paper for supporting the podcast. You can visit them at facebook.com/redriverpaper, and of course by clicking on the tile that's on every page of the digital story. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. Thanks so much for joining me. Hope you enjoyed the interview with Iberian X. I thought it was really special. Hope to see you in San Francisco for our last street photography workshop there. Lots of stuff going on in 2019. Come back next week. More to talk about. Until then, bye-bye now.